So near the beginning of Maamar Gimel, he explained to us physical preparation for tefillah. And then as we begin this later part of Maamar Shlishi, begin to sketch out sort of the goal of the content of tefillah, beginning with brachas and the sense of gratitude and the sense of appreciation, the despoiling. If to be spoiled is to take things for granted, not to appreciate what one has. It's sort of when you have things, you assume that they're there, and you get upset when you don't have things, you don't appreciate when you have things. They pointed out that that's an incredible, being spoiled is an incredible barrier, incredible obstacle to being happy. Ba'olam hazeh, forget about ba'olam haba, forget about riffing. Just to have a happy life. Being spoiled is going to be an incredible barrier, because you're not going to enjoy the stuff you have, you're going to get upset about whatever you don't have. They pointed out that brachas, the joy of brachas. The brachas can just make a person more joyful, more happy, because it trains us to be aware of the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has placed in our life. But yesterday we began to take a look at, now he's beginning to work his way through the daven, sort of step by step. Began yesterday with the bracha of Yotzer of Baruch Hoshev, the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, talking about appreciating Chachmas HaBori at many different scales. Just talking some math before. I think about the many orders of magnitude. Chachmas HaBori, it's not really quantifiable. Chachmas HaBori in the complexity of Malachim, but certainly what is quantifiable, or we can begin to quantify, is Chachmas HaBori on the astronomical scale, and Chachmas HaBori in terms of the smallest living creatures. And to recognize, as he pointed out, it's hard to even know which is more impressive. And now on page 186, 187, right after he quotes the Pesukim in Iyov, you're following on the left, it's the next paragraph. Now moving on to the next bracha. Okay, so if that first bracha is recognized as Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, and different people again will perhaps zero in on different things. Again, we're looking for right after a quote from Iyov Perek Lamed Aleph, for those who are have a real kuzu with them. In the midst of Maamar Gimel Os Yud Zayin, immediately after Iyov Lamed Aleph. So now what do you think about the second prophet? Hadavek Hidavek Ha'in Eloki Be'eda HaMuchenes Laki Vulo. What you need to appreciate is if in the first bracha it was about creation, about physical creation, in the second bracha it's about revelation. It's about Bechiras Yisrael. It's about the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu created this reality, this opportunity, for an Eda HaMuchenes, for a group of people, a nation, that prepares itself to plug into Kadosh Baruch Hu, to have that Dveikus, Ki Daveka In Eloki, that the divine spark can attach itself to us if we make ourselves ready for it. V'hidaveka orbim aria zaka. Shal Torah etzlo haskolas chetet yimenu l'roz malchuso ba'aret. Hirosav ha'shamayim. The Torah number one, because that's what Avasalom is all about. Avarava, Avasalom, Avasachashka, Asrar, whatever it is. The second bracha right before Kriyashma is about Torah. So it's about number one, from Abed Har Sinai and on, that we are people who have the opportunity to live beyond ourselves. People have the opportunity to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And, it says, think number two, it's Kihidaveka Orbe Mara Azaka. So it sounds like he's talking about either some type of mirror or some type of lens that was polished. And it's ready for the light to be reflected or refracted through it. Isha Torah etzlo haskolas chepet mimenu l'roz malchuso ba'aretz k'rosav ha'shamayim. What is the Torah?
Well, when we think, what is Torah, what are we learning? It's giving people a lot of different ideas. Like, what exactly is it we're doing? He says, but can we like step away from the details for a moment? Of like the skills, the reading skills that you're working on, and the analytic skills that you're working on, and the things that are easy and the things that are hard, and the Tosus and the Rashba and the Pasuk and the Gemara and the Mesilas Yesharim and the et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But like, let's zoom out a little bit. Like, let's look at the forest, such as the trees. He says, Torah is God's interest in making this world godlike. It shouldn't just be Shamayim, which is Malchusim. It shouldn't be just Shamayim, which is in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu works well, in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be. Torah is, at its core, Ritzon Hashem. Ritzon Hashem means how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to build society, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to make the world to the sort of place it ought to be. And guess what? God didn't, again going back to Yisrael, God did not decide to plunk angels onto this world. God decided to plunk you and me onto this world. Adam, Yizera, Vidam, a human being. Right? And he's getting very, 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 very visceral. A human being created from Zera and Dam, a human being created in an entirely physical, carnal way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants human, physical human beings, and we are far from perfect. And we are far from easy. He says, our nature overcomes us, and our midos, our baser midos get the better of us, it goes worse, Hashem is bar v'sefer yitzira. Okay? If you want to say it to you, you'll kind of learn more about this concept, a concept that we're familiar with without access to Kabbalah as well. We all know very well that maybe the guy next to me, I look at him and I'm like jealous because he's perfect, but I know that I'm not perfect. I'm honest with myself. So guess what? Here's a little tidbit because you're Joshin. By the way, the guy next to you is not perfect. Either. Even though it looks like everything comes to him easy and it comes hard to me, no one's perfect. Sheva, Yipo, Tzadik, Bekam. As Shlomo Melech famously tells us, right? The Tzadik is the one who falls seven times and keeps getting up. The Tzadik is not the one who never fails. Everyone fails. Lots of times. I mean, that's what that fellow spoke to us a week and a half ago, said Shal Shittas. Right? Everyone, Tzadikim fail a lot. Human beings fail. Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know, like if maybe we could have imagined HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have chosen to make Malachim here instead. Okay, guess what? He didn't. He decided instead, us. People who make lots of mistakes, who often get tripped up by our bad mitos, whose nature is to be lazy, whose nature is to get irritated, whose nature is to often act in very rational ways and do self-destructive things. That's the way we were built. We don't have to, we're not locked into always being that way, we are built to tend that way. We are built to tend that way. And guess what? In case you think you can't do it, God chose you to be here. So that obviously is an incredible, incredible vote of confidence. Because Rose thought he could entrust his job to you and me instead of to Malachim. Kasha yizach mehem yachid okal, he goes on to say, when an individual or a whole group of people, the whole nation clarifies itself. Remember, he was using the optical muscle before, talking about the lens and the mirror. So to be zach, like he said before, if I polish the lens, so that the light comes through clearly, yachul alav ha'or ha'eloki. The more I polish myself, the more the divine light can come through. The more the divine light can set in. I may even, a Kal Yisrael steps up to the plate, we merit Siyat Deshmaya beyond nature. That's going to call forth incredible sense of Ava. That's going to call forth incredible. But why he's pointing out something very simple. The Bracha and Torah is the second Bracha. So why is it Ava Solo, Ava Rava? What's with the Ava and the Simcha? Well, no one, okay. You get into learning. You enjoy learning. You get Simcha out of that. He says more than that. He says, what better expression of love than that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us, create us with lots of weak spots and lots of fallibilities, and we have a very easy time messing up, and it's hard for us to do the right thing. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm putting you here. I'm giving you plenty of time on the court. Because I believe that you can do it.
And you're going to mess up, but the coach doesn't put it off. He keeps you on. And we're playing ultimately a game far more important than any other. Each and every one of us. That's love. That's Ava V'Simcha. Yeah. That. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows it all. Believes in you, and you, and him, and her, and me. Wow. And it says, we'll take question one. Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking around the world, looking for people who are willing to listen, looking for people willing to give this a real try, and to catch and to absorb the Inyan Elokhi, the divine spark. So willing to maskis l'dvaro, to listen to Kadosh Baruch Hu's word, davek b'seder shetivo, and to glue ourselves to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to organize our lives. It works well in Shemayim. Okay. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they're following instructions. But how about a person with the Dvar Chashuv? Chassidim b'nei Adam. At first it was just individual people. Chassidim. I think I mentioned the other day, right? That
the term Chassidim has been used throughout history, different times for different groups. Most recently it's used for the Talmid the Baal Shem Tov. Before that it was used for the Hasidi Ashkenaz, the period of the late Rishon. There were earlier that Tanam Mishnah talk about the Hasidim HaRishon. So the Kudri says the first Hasidim, not Hasidish with long pace and the Bekish and Shamo and Agarkin necessarily, it's certainly not black, that's for sure. Yeah, there were Yechidim, Adam Ba'ad Yaakov. They were individual people from Adam and Yaakov. And that the Kudri seems to say earlier, I'm going to say the Maya Marishan, that when you think about that line of genealogy in Chumash, you know, in Bereishis and then in Noach, right? You go from Adam and Sheis and all the way to Noach, and then from Noach, Shem, Arpachshad, all the way until Tarach and Avraham Avinu. So maybe not all the people on that list, but certainly some of those people on that list were the transmitters from point to point of this Inyan Eloki, this divine spark, a person being attuned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it was individual people. It wasn't a group. Here and there, from Adam all the way to Yaakov Avinu. Acharesh came, Shavu Kaha. But Yaakov Avinu, he is. We spoke about this a couple weeks ago at Mishpah. Yaakov Avinu, he's the pivotal figure. One of the great pivots. There's some good pivots over the last couple of days. One of the great pivots in world spiritual history was Yaakov Avinu. Because up until Yaakov Avinu, the Inyan Eloki, this connectedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would later become being Jewish, that attunedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was just individual people. And Adam had it, and Sheis had it, and Shem had it, and Abraham had it, and Noah had it, and Lamech had it. It was like point to point. There's certainly no assumption that if you have it, your kids have it, until who? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, all of a sudden, he's the one who, everything's different. Because he's the one who, it's all open. He has it, and all of his kids have it. He's anxious about it to the very last. The Gemara says, on his deathbed, he's still worried. Maybe not all of his kids are on board. Maybe he's not Mikasa Shlema, but he manages to pull it off. And that's the beginning of making a nation. Achar kin shavu kaho. Then it could really become, it could grow into a nation, not just individual people. V'chol aleihem ein eloki la'ava. Liyos la'ahem elokim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to shower love, not on individual people, on a nation. On a nation. And he says, come to the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organizes us, that organization, beginning by Midbar, who cares? They were like in a box, like this, like that, three on this side, three on that side, no. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is investing in organizing us, and organizing us in a way that parallels what's going on in Shamayim, the Kisei HaKavod, that's a way of saying that your people, your Basar Adam, you're not angels, and guess what? Being people with failings and weaknesses and mistakes and having to do it over again and trial and error, you can be people who are parallel to Malachim. That is incredible. That's unbelievable. Siddur Bamidbar, Beseder HaGalgalim, like a heavenly order. Arba Degalim, Karbaz Rivin HaGalgal, Shnei Masar Shevet, Kishnei Masar Mazalos,
the numbers 4 and 12 parallel astronomy, or even more, that which is heavenly, the way the Malachim are organized, and the Levim are inside the Machna, as it says in Sefer Yetzirah, once again, is beyond beyond our scale right now. You should be Zocha at some point in your life to be able to make sense of this. Heichal Kadosh Bechubim Be'emtavun Oseas Kulam V'zeh Kulo More Al Abba. And this is all such an incredible expression of Kadosh Baruch Hu's love of us, that he believes in us. He's willing to give us a try, and willing to elevate us, and give us a chance, and push it up, push it up, push it up. That is, that, he says, when you, so now let's wrap, now let's bring it back in. No types of questions. So when you think about the second bracha, if the first bracha in Krishna, some of the ideas that are going around your head are about recognizing Chachmas Abore in the world, the big scale and the small scale, second bracha of Kriya Shema is recognizing the fact that it really, to us, it makes no sense. That Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance to, we're not angels, we're not perfect, we know we're not perfect, I know I'm not perfect, you know you're not perfect, and guess what, neither is the guy next to you, and yet Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us opportunity to, you know, things work well in Shemayim, here's my Torah, go use it and make the world work well too. And plug in to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gives us a chance, gives us opportunity, gives us. That's pretty serious Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu towards us. He's been waiting very patiently.
So, he's really said before that that our fluff up in our like battle with our egos and our like, natural tendencies are dependent on the Mazel, which is their astrological status according to that.
What does that mean?
Yeah. I feel like that, like, a lot of, like, the battle between natural tendencies and, like, whatever is a very, like, cognitive battle, that's a lot of my effort and like, my, that's not the start.
Yeah. What does mazel mean? It's a great question. It's an excellent question. What on earth is mazel? Mazel are the signs of the zodiac, right? So what does it mean? And the Gemara says in one place, "Ein mazel Yisrael." There's no mazel for the Jewish people. Right? That's what the Gemara says very, very visually. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes Avraham Avinu, Vayotzeh Aso Achutza. This is a pasuk from Inspiration. The Kadosh Baruch Hu takes him outside. They look at the stars. The Gemara just said, "Vayotzeh Aso Achutza." That doesn't mean took him outside of the tent. Avinu could walk out of the tent on his own. It means he took him outside the whole system. Almost as though, literally or figuratively, certainly, like he's looking down on the stars. As though Kadosh Baruch Hu like plucks it out.
Yeah, awesome.
Leaf the Mara and the book. So what does that mean? Any mazel Yisrael. There's no mazel or Kali Yisrael. So what that means is that there are, so I've heard Rav Shechter say many times, that there are, just like there are laws of chemistry and physics, there are patterns of history. And historians will tell you there are certain patterns that groups follow. If you study political science and you study political history, there are certain patterns that groups follow. There are certain patterns that, the different patterns that civilizations might adopt and that nations might adopt. And there's a certain ebb and flow. And there are, not quite like quantum mechanics, but you can speak intelligently about patterns and tendencies and how organizations and groups of people and states and civilizations evolve and devolve. And Klal Yisrael just breaks all the rules. Klal Yisrael is not bound by the laws of history. That we have seen. That's what I mentioned. I have something I think about not frequently. A quote from Yaakov Emden. Yaakov Emden in the 1700s, 1800s. And he was Emden Eibshitz Kontrus. He was very, very... he lived in the... excuse me. In the 16 and 1700s. This goes back around 400 years. Yaakov Emden said, he thinks by my time, and this is 400 years ago, he said, I think by now, much as Mamre Har Sinai has been a great source, root of our Amunah, because I think by now we've been going for so long, the Jewish people, says that by now, by the 1600s, the survival, and not just like survival, but continued thriving of the Jewish people has overtaken Mamar Har Sinai in terms of being the greatest root for one's emuna. And he said that in the 1600s. Allah has kama, kama. Think about how much has happened, how much we've gone through, and how much we have not only survived, but to have come through the Holocaust whole, and to have rebuilt in remarkable ways, and to have come back to Eretz Yisrael, and to have the only, I believe linguists point out, the only time, this is a small thing, but how significant it is, I think it's the only time recorded history, modern Hebrew is, I believe, the only time recorded history that a dead language was revived and became the living language of millions. Small and absolutely remarkable. And so many big things. So, that's Ein Mazal Yisrael. Ein Mazal Yisrael means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu from the very outset, from the dawn of the Jewish people, just know the people that you're going to give rise to, not all your descendants, but Kibi Yitzchak Yikar El Chazara, one of your grandchildren is going to give rise to a nation, and they're gonna operate very differently. Ein Mazal Yisrael. So Mazal means Mazel, and literally, Mazel was the way that ancient scientists understood how things work. And every generation, and different eras, scientists develop. In every generation, you need to have constructs of invisible forces that are at play that explain observed phenomena. Right. So we have certainly scientifically progressed beyond that. But Mazel means, Mazel is a way of talking about the forces of psychology and history. So when he says that it's going to be in large part a result of Mazel, what that means is that each person is born wired somewhat differently. That different people are born with different temperaments. And secondly, there's an ongoing debate in psychology for millennia and more recently for decades. I'm sure you know. About, even if you're not taking AP psychology, about nature versus nurture. Right? To what extent do I operate, am I the way I am because of genetics? And to what extent am I the way, personality the way I am because of experiences that I have? Because of the way I was raised, because of friends, because of good experiences, bad experiences, the Rebbe that I love and the Rebbe that I hated, you know, v'chule, v'chule, v'chule. And there's been some interesting experiments done with identical twins separated at birth. Obviously, they share genetics, and they do not share environment. So they have the same nature, but not the same nurture. And some things are, as is the answer with most of these things, the answer is somewhere in the middle. It's a complex mix of what you're born with, and what you've experienced, and what you make of it. That's when he says, Mazel means, what's easy for me is hard for you, what's easy for you is hard for me, in large part because we're built differently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu builds each person differently. We all have B'chir Chavshas, but each person has... It could be that for Reuven, you know, handling his temper, keeping his temper under control, that's easy. But the desire to talk about other people is incredibly difficult for him to master. For Shimon, talking to other people is not something that really drives him. But his temper is incredibly hard to control. Not impossible. Not that he's a shota, and it's, you know, beyond his b'chir chavshas, but it's hard. Different things are hard for different people.
So what you're saying...
He may have had in mind astrology. Okay. That was the science of that's the way the science of the times explained the variation in human psychology from person to person. Now we have our science of the 21st century. There's other ways of explaining that. But either way, there are forces, not necessarily visible, but that we can study, that drive the way different people are. And that plays in, it's going to make certain stuff hard for you and easy for me, and certain stuff hard for me, easier for you. Yeah, next question. Ross.
Like, the Gemara or Midrash or something you're talking about Hashem pulling out Yaakov and showing him.
Avram
and showing him Israel. That seems like he was like portraying to him like the future of Israel, not what's happened to them in the past.
Right. Absolutely. Like, he was telling.
Isn't Mazel a reflection of what happened in our past?
Mazel are the forces that drive what happens to us. See, he was telling Avraham Avinu, just know your children, your Zera, to be more precise, in other words, not relevant to Esav, Yishmael, and Keturah, but Zera Avram, which is Kalal Yisrael, will not be controlled by Mazel. And now?
Right,
a word from our sponsor.
I've been here a while.
It's good to have you back.
Great. I think you guys all got an email from yesterday, but probably none of you read. We're collecting money for Audio Safe Chai, which is an amazing organization. What?
Ezra Wilds.
What do these, what are these two preface and themes related to Krishna?
Oh, that's a great question. Tomorrow we're going to get to Krishna. That's he's up next. He's setting us up for Kriyas Shema. I will tell you very briefly, there's a famous Deher from the Rav, based on careful reading the Rambam, not surprisingly. They pointed out that the three brachas of Kriyas Shema, three brachas of Shachar, so the first three brachas of Ma'ariv, correspond to the three parshas of Kriyas Shema. Whereas the first bracha is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Bore. So just taught HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the first parasha of Kriyas Shema, Shema V'Yahavta. Second bracha is about Torah mitzvahs, and the second bracha of Kriyas Shema, V'Hayim Shema, the second parasha of Kriyas Shema, V'Hayim Shema, is about Kabbalah Sait. The first one is Kabbalah Sait Ma'al Shemaim. As the Gemara, Tanan pointed out, the second parasha, V'Hayim Shema, is Kabbalah Sait Mitzvahs, or applying our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to actually having to do things. And finally, the third bracha, V'Yomer, is about tzitzis and lots of other things, but the main reason it's there is because of the last pasuk, Zechir Sitzias Mitzrayim, and the bracha of Emes V'Yatzav, Emes V'Emuna, expands on that. More than just one pasuk. It talks about Makas Bechoros, it talks about Kaba Kriyas Yamsuf, but those three brachas correspond, expand upon, different twists, but elaborate on the core themes of the first three parshas. Raz.
The first parsha is Shema about
it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as... It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem Echad, and now I don't have time to get into it. Hashem Echad, many have pointed out, the Rambam, when he enumerates the 13 Animamins, they're not all logically independent. In other words, if I really wanted to, I could derive one from the other. But he wanted to make it clear, so he spells them out. But Hashem Echad and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bina Bore are logically equivalent. Not just that there's one God.
It's not necessarily the theme of the first part, it's just two of the words.
But the whole parsha is about the existence of and our focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a more direct way, as opposed to Vayim Shema, which is being that there's a God, so he has a lot of mitzvahs left to us to do, and if we keep them gevaldik, and if not, Sar Vonish. Or in the sex scene.
It's about our connection with Hashem. It's not about... I mean, it is about Hashem in a way, and therefore Hashem is ultimate, and Hashem also creates everything as a result of that. But it seems like kind of a stretch.
I hear what you're saying. But remember, you're making a good point. What I would say is I think you're actually... You're addressing this idea well, because the point of the bracha is not just to repeat what the parsha said. The point of the bracha would be to elaborate. Just like, so let's say with the Emes V'Yatzav Emes V'Emuna, we're adding to Yetzias Mitzrayim discussion of Makas Bechoros and Kriyas Yamsuf, right? And talking about how Klal Yisrael responded and how the Mitzrayim were impacted, right? So we're broadening the scope. So here we're also broadening. But not just adding more to the story, but thinking about the significance of it. In other words, the other part of the story of Hashem Echad is to begin to think about, well, who is this Hashem that we speak of? Yeah, in the bracha, just like in Vayomer, we just say, Hashem took Zav Mitzrayim, bang, and very unvarnished, very, 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 a lot of detail, very unelaborated. So you also, Hashem Echad is, in a sense, you're saying, very unelaborated. So now we back up to say, this Hashem that we speak of is the Hashem who's responsible for the reality, the existence of the entire universe. And let's talk about that a little bit. So you're right, it is, and it's adding another element to that idea. If you're very sexy, and if you're into Jonathan Sacks, Chief Rabbi, Sir, or Lord now, Jonathan Sacks, so in his Siddur, he's very into this idea, which really goes back, I think, to, I don't know, he may point out, he quotes Franz Rosenzweig. It's rooted, I believe, he himself points out, rooted in Yosef Albo, Sefer Ikarim, creation, revelation, redemption. And he said, point that trio of ideas, repeats again and again and again and again throughout the Siddur, in big ways and small ways, and that's the three paragraphs of Kriyashma. And as expanded on specifically in the brachas of Kriyashma, the first bracha is a creation, the second bracha, revelation, meaning Mamar Har Sinai, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and finally redemption in terms of Geula. Those are also the three categories of Ikar Emunah. We can talk about that some more, some other time.